Amen. Good morning. It's so good to be together singing. I'd like you to turn to our marvelous text, Genesis chapter 32. This young man named Jacob, he's returning to the promised land. This is Abraham's grandson, and he left home about 20 years earlier, and now he's returning, and he is going to wrestle with God. And then God is going to give him a new name, new identity. So let us stand and read this together. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. That's the Jordan River, so crossing into the promised land. Verse 23, he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Let's pray. Father, yes, we do love being together, Lord, lifting up songs of praise. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us to sing. Lord, who are we that we could bless you, that we could give you joy? Lord, we praise you for your joy, and we praise you for your gentleness and humbleness and meekness, that you could have joy from our songs, Lord. That is who you are, a God of joy, a God of humbleness. And we love to be together in your presence, Lord. And as we lift up your word now, Lord, we pray you give us understanding from the life of this man, Jacob. Speak to us, Lord. Give us ears to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. A lot of people are excited. Tonight is the Academy Awards. Anybody going to watch the Academy Awards? No? Don't you want to know who gets best picture? No? Who gets best actor? No? Okay. All right. Fine. Who do you think, in the New Testament at least, would get the award for best actor? Jesus talked about these guys are great actors. The Pharisees, right? Jesus said, these guys are actors. The week before he died, Jesus pronounced judgment on the scribes and Pharisees. Scribes are kind of like lawyers. Their job was to know the law backwards and forwards. The Pharisees were like kind of like pastors, teachers. They were the leaders in the synagogues. And Jesus pronounced a series of judgments against them, and seven times he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, actors." Now, do y'all know the Greek word for actor? Hypocrite. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. In English, hypocrite is generally a pejorative. It's a bad word, right? In Greek, so we have the word hypocrite, we have the word actor. Greek, it's the same word. You guys are actors. When people criticize the church today, they often say, "You're a bunch of hypocrites. You're just acting. You don't really believe this stuff." You're just doing it for your own good. What causes us to act? I don't mean in church, but just in general. What causes us to put on a mask and pretend to be something we're not? To pretend everything's okay. Sometimes we're just tired, and I don't really want to be real with the people I'm with. Maybe I'm nervous. I'm real nervous around someone, and I just want to act a certain way. Maybe my emotions are out of control, and I have to hide them. If you go to one of those addiction recovery support groups, like Alcoholics Anonymous or something, spend a lot of time to sit around practicing expressing emotion. Because people will use alcohol to numb ourselves. My anger, my bitterness, it's out of control. I've got to have alcohol, pornography, something to numb my feelings. So they'll sit around practicing. Today, I feel angry. Why do you feel angry? Well, this guy got something he didn't deserve. Nobody deserves anything. You're angry because of a lie. Anybody deserves anything. You just practice that. Practice being real, being present before people. God does not want us to pretend when we're in his presence. He doesn't want us to come before him and act a certain way. This young man, Jacob, God's going to change his name to Israel, and then he's going to effectively name his people after this guy. God's people are called Israelites. God's people are not called Abrahamites. His grandfather was Abraham. People are not called Isaacites. His father's Isaac. His son is Joseph, right? Who God accomplished great saving of many lives through. They're not called Josephites. They're called Israelites. God's people are called Israelites. Jacob had one particular quality about him. Any of God's people can emulate. That's that he was real. He was authentic. He didn't act. He was transparent before God. And if you're going to be real before God, you are going to wrestle. You're going to struggle. You're going to wrestle with God. That's what Jacob does here. He wrestles all night long with God. This is Christianity 101. What does it mean to be a child of God? What does it mean to be identified as his person? I wrestle with God. I hang on to God. The name Israel means strives with God, wrestles with God. So I just want to look through this and how do we lay hold of God's blessings? How do we get the identity as God's people? Let's look at this man, Jacob. The first thing we see, getting God's blessing, getting a new identity, Jacob meets God face to face. 20 years earlier, Jacob left home with nothing. He was fleeing from his brother because he had tricked his father. He'd gotten a bunch of blessings. And now he's fleeing. He pretended. He pretended to be his brother, even put fur on his hands. His brother's real hairy, right? And tricked his father into giving him a blessing. He left home. He left the promised land. And he had a rock for a pillow. Nothing else. He had a staff. He had clothes on his back. He went to live with his uncle. And now, 20 years later, he's coming back. He's got two wives. He's got two concubines. He's got 11 sons. He's got thousands of sheep, camels, and donkeys. And Jacob has realized none of this is actually enough. It wasn't enough for him. He's coming back home. He has spent all of his life trying to get wealthy, get what's his, and he's done it with trickery. He's done it by swindling people, and now he's coming back. He realizes it wasn't enough. Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with them until the breaking of the day. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered. Okay? He has come back. He has sent all of his wealth, his family, all of his, everything he has, he sent it back across so that once again, it's just him. Then he wrestles with God all night. What's going on there? Why is Jacob wrestling? He's wrestling the same reason you and I wrestle. We want control. From before he was born, God had promised to bless Jacob. Right? He said when the two children were in the womb, he says, I'm going to bless Jacob. The promise given to Abraham, to Isaac, it's going to go through Jacob. But all Jacob's life, he'd said, I can take care of myself. And he'd used trickery, right? He got his brother to sell him his birthright when he felt like he was starving. Later on, he disguised himself as his brother and got his father to give him another blessing. And when he went and lived with his uncle kept tricking him. You know, say what comes around goes around. His uncle kept tricking him. And Jacob he worked very hard, but he kept trying to get what was his. And at one point, Jacob even used some silly folklore, you know, magic type thing. He wanted his sheep to multiply, and he made some sticks, and he put you'd have to read it. He put etches on them so the sticks were spotted. He'd made a deal with his uncle. I'll take the spotted sheep. You get the regular sheep. Then when the sheep would mate at the watering trough, they'd see the spots. He couldn't take God at his word. Right? I will do it. I'll figure it out, right? God blessed him. Jacob finally realized, God has provided this for me, and I want God's blessing. He wrestles with God all night long, alone in the dark. God could have, all God had to do was touch him to cripple him. But God wrestles with him. Jacob is wrestling. Do I want God's blessing? Do I really want God? Do I want the promise of heaven? More than all the wealth I have. You and I, if we are going to be real with God, we are going to wrestle with him. And we're going to do it alone. It'll be in the dark. It'll be on our knees. That's what it looks like when we pray. Where was Jesus born? He was born on a dark night in a lonely place. That's where he meets us. But in my heart, I am struggling to be real about the things I want, the things I'm afraid of. I'm struggling to be authentic, to be transparent. That's where he meets us. He says, I want to meet you here. I want to bring life here. What was an alternative? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. For God, he said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In other words, when we come before God, when we pray to Jesus, right, according to the Gospels, this is who God is, then we are, in a sense, meeting God face to face. Jacob wrestled with an angel. He called the name of the place Peniel, just means the face of God. So you and I, when we pray, when we're on our knees in the dark, we are meeting God face to face. What was an alternative? What could Jacob have done other than wrestle with God? What can you and I do except wrestle with God? Well, one alternative is just to lip sync on Sundays, to pretend, to act, to be a hypocrite, right? That's one alternative. Back in the 80s, there was a rock band Milli Vanilli, and they were doing a concert. And one night there was an error with the recording, and it started playing the same thing again and again. And everybody realized these guys are not singing on stage. They're lip syncing. The music is being played behind them. Do you remember when that happened? I'm in lip sync. What happens if someone hasn't been practicing, hasn't been preparing? If you have a singer who hasn't been practicing and they come up on stage and they do a wonderful job, they're probably lip syncing. That's one alternative to act. The other alternative is simply to walk away. Thanks, but no thanks, God. I'm tired of struggling with sin. I'm tired of struggling with obeying your word, and we just walk away. Thanks, but no thanks. King Ahaz, in the Old Testament, the king of Judah at the time, God said, ask, I will help you. He says, no, I'm not going to ask. No thanks. God said, that's it. I'm done with you guys. I'm going to bring the Chaldeans to conquer you. We wrestle with God. That is Christianity 101. Y'all have, there's a brochure made. Y'all have the brochure called Supplication. Oh, can y'all pass that out? I'm sorry, the ushers, it's back there. We're doing kind of a little bit of a series now just on praying. We talked about praising God, worshiping God, adoring God. Last week, we talked about praying for one another, praying for other people. Here, we talk about praying for ourselves, coming before God and praying for myself, what I desire. The book of Psalms, largest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms, the book of prayers, is a book of people wrestling with God. People wrestling with God. People struggling with deep emotion, deep struggle, struggling with anger, with bitterness. They come before God with their anger and with their bitterness, right? So like in this brochure, one side says, praying for judgment on our enemies. There's several psalms where the psalmist is really struggling with anger and bitterness, and they come before God and ask God to bring judgment on their enemies. And they are wrestling mightily with God, wrestling to trust God. You guys have enemies? Maybe get them in office politics, get people gossiping about you, get people who are really, and this sounds strong, but there are many prayers in the Bible coming before God. And if I'm going to be real with God, if I'm going to be genuine, God, I am so bitter right now. I'm so full of anger right now. What this person is doing to me, what these people are doing. God wants us to pray. He doesn't promise to give us what we ask for. He doesn't promise that. But he promises to give us peace. King David often prayed against his enemies. And then he was able to be genuinely kind before them. This is what a child of God does. This is what an Israelite does. You wrestle before God. Philippians, there in the very front, I'd have Philippians quoted. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Come before God, and you make your requests known. What has grabbed my heart? God, I want to get in to this college. God, I want to get this job. Lord, I want this relationship. It says, bring your requests before God. Don't come before him and pretend that everything's okay, that you have everything you need. This is what's on my heart, God. Does he promise to give us what we ask for? No. It says he'll give us peace from anxiousness over the things that we want. So that's what a child of God does. You come and ask for freedom from hardship. And again in the psalmist asks, Lord, would you deliver me from this suffering? Job asked God, why? Why are you letting me suffer so much? Don't even give me time to swallow my spit. And more trouble comes. Why, God? And he asked for relief. So that's what a child of God does. That's wrestling before God. Can y'all do this? Can we wrestle before God in this way? Say, God, this is what's on my heart, whether it's anger, whether I really want this relationship or something, whether I'm full of fear. We come before God with reverence. We come before God with great respect, fear of God. He doesn't like us to complain and murmur, but he does want us to be transparent, to be honest. Struggling with depression, right? Look there. I have deliverance from depression. That's very different from complaining. Person's not complaining before God. As in the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit grows faint. God, you have held my eyelids open, but I am full of despair. And why are you doing this to me? God, you are causing me to lose sleep. That's not complaining, that's wrestling. Oh, God, I am so full of despair. Your way was in the sea, your path through the great waters, your footprints were unseen. When we wrestle before God, he can strengthen us. He can bless us. He can give us endurance. He can give us perspective. So the first thing about being a child of God as we spend time wrestling, and then we're broken by God. I told you, before he was born, God had promised to bless Jacob, right? Jacob had trusted in himself, his own shrewdness, his own trickery, his own hard work. We will do the same thing. Do you remember the young man came to Jesus, said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Lord, I want to do it. I want the control. Jacob decided, I need to give control to God. And he was broken before God. He could have walked away bitter. Verse 25, when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. So he wrestled all night in the dark, alone. He didn't quit. Finally, God just touched him to cripple him. I'm going the wrong way. And then, touch him to cripple him. And that was who Jacob was. Everyone could see that he had a limp, right? They would see Jacob limping and say, hey, there's the God wrestler. You know, if you see like a soldier who has an artificial leg, right? People point at him and say, look at that guy. He fought in the war, lost his leg. They looked at Jacob and said, there's the God wrestler. He got crippled in his hip. What did people say about Jonah, right? Hey, there's that guy, Jonah. We don't know exactly, but remember what the sailors said about him? No, there was that huge storm. They said they threw him in the sea and immediately there was quiet. Jacob was known for having been crippled, having been hung on to God, said, I won't let go unless you bless me. And God said to him, what is your name? What did Jacob say? He said, my name is Jacob. Jacob means heel grabber, means trickster. This is who I am. God said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Jacob decided he was willing to give all that up, give everything he'd gained up, hang on to God's blessing. What do you have to give up? I'm going to be broken before God. I have to let go of some things. I have to let go of something I'm proud of, something I want control over. I just have to let go. I want God instead. Back in after high school, I graduated high school. I was too proud of my letter jacket. Letter jacket with the patches on it from the track team, cross country team. I said, God, I got to let go of this pride. I got to let go of. And I just took it and built a fire and burned it. I said, God, I would rather have your blessing. So I graduated college. I had three ginormous books of newspapers that I had contributed to that I'd published. Again, I took and built a fire and just burned them up. I said, God, I would rather have your blessing. I'm too proud of this stuff. I was in an interview in the Madeline's restaurant there down in Westheimer. Finally, I said, God, I'm going to give this up. The next day, I applied for seminary. Jacob offering everything he had to God. In the Bible, there's two kinds of offerings. Sorry, my PowerPoint's a little confused. There's two types of offerings in the Old Testament. There was the hatat offering, where people would bring their sacrifice to the temple, and a lot of it would be eaten by the priests, right? The hatat offering. They'd bring a bull, they'd bring goats, they'd offer it up to God in sacrifice, and the priests would take some of it. And you're like, returning to God, I have taken some of what's yours. These guys are representing me before you. There's another kind of offering called the olam offering. Everything was burned up. Everything was given. God, I give it all to you out of fear, out of reverence. Abraham went and took his son Isaac. Lord, I want you even more. I love you more than I love Isaac. And he was willing, prepared to give him up. God said, I know that you fear God. I know that you love me. In the same way, Hannah, remember Hannah? She prayed and prayed. She wrestled before God. She prayed. She didn't have a son. Her enemy, she talked about her enemy, was mocking her. Her friend who had several children. Oh, God hasn't blessed you. Your womb is barren. And it just drove Hannah. The priest thought she was drunk, right? She came before the temple and she's praying before God and she's just so torn up. The priest said, you shouldn't come before you. And she said, I'm not drunk. I am full of turmoil in my heart. And finally, God gave her a son. She said, God, I'll give him back to you. She took Samuel to the temple, dedicated him to God. She was broken before God. Abraham was broken before God. Jacob here is literally broken before God. Paul talks about to keep me from becoming conceited. He had a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. So, child of God meets him face to face, wrestles with him. Child of God is broken before him, and then gets a new identity as God's child. Said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. You didn't let go. You hung on. I could touch you and cripple you, but you hung on. Want my blessing. Okay, look at this. Therefore, to this day, the people People of Israel, do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip sockets, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Jacob told his family, don't eat that part of the animal. I want you to remember what God did for me. He was crippled. He walked with a limp. This is how I want you to remember me. This is who I am. I am the guy that wrestled with God all night long and hung on. And I got a limp as a result. Remember me this way. Remember me as the one who strove with God and was broken by God. Remember me. A child of God wants to be remembered for God's loving kindness. God showed me loving kindness. This is who I am. I want, after I die, I hope Jeremiah and Matthew, if they remember about me, about their father. Not that I was a good guy, not that I was a hard worker, not that I had any great talent. Remember, Pa, God showed him great loving kindness. That's the way Jacob wanted to be remembered. And he did it very concretely, right? Once you remember for God's loving kindness, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is who I am. I am a new person. I have a new identity. I'm not play acting. He wants us to be real. Whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now that Jacob has dealt with his own sin, he's dealt with his past, he said, above all, I have said I want God, and I've got the scar to prove it. I've got the wound to prove it, that I gave up everything for God. Now he is able, he is free to reconcile with his brother Esau. If you keep reading after this, he comes to Esau giving him a bunch of gifts. He's very genuine. He's very real. He's not acting. He's saying, I want to bless you. I want to give you a present. I want to gives him several presents. Gives him lots of good things. That is what a child of God does. We meet God face to face and we are real with him. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not pretending to honor God. I am being real. If that happens, I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to deal with my anger. I'm going to deal with my greed. I'm going to deal with my depression, my bitterness, my fear, and I bring it before God. And I wrestle with him and I'll be broken and I want people to remember. God showed him loving kindness. Now, there's something curious here. Jacob asks him, what is your name? Look at verse 30. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. He said, why is it that you ask my name? He doesn't answer. When is another time that someone asked God the same question? Remember? 400 years later, another shepherd named Moses is going to ask God the same question. If I go to them, if I go to Israel, to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, and they're going to ask me, what is his name? What do I tell them? That's when God revealed his name. He answered the question. My name is Yahweh, the I Am. Jacob had no context. What could God have told Jacob that would make any sense? Hi, my name's Joshua. Doesn't mean anything, right? The Jesus, the name Jesus is the name, same as Joshua, same as Isaiah, same as Hosea, the common name. What would it mean for God to, if you meet someone you don't know, maybe talking on the phone, you say, what is your name? He says, hi, my name is Jose. Hey, I know something about you. You must be Hispanic. You have an Hispanic background, right? No, actually, my name is Jacques. Oh, you sound like you're a French guy. So you know something about him. He's French. Say, my name is Kang Shifu. Oh. You must be Chinese. I know something about you. What could God say to Jacob? It would make any sense. 400 years later, God can answer his name, can tell him his name. Why? What happened during those 400 years? You have a nation of slaves, nation of people who are helpless, who all they can do is cry out to God for help. Please deliver us. God introduced himself to the world. People say, who is God? Oh, he's the God of these people, the Israelites. They were born in slavery. And he delivered them. They were helpless. He delivered them just like a doctor delivers a baby into new life. And then you got the language of Hebrew, right? Moses wrote this. Moses wrote what we read today. Jacob didn't write it. Moses wrote it in Hebrew. So, child of God, I was helpless. I was a slave of sin. God delivered me into a new life. That's who he is. I want to tell you about him. This is who I am. Remember me for God's loving kindness to me. Okay. The application, very simple to wrestle with God. It can only happen alone. It can only happen in the dark. Jesus said, go in your closet between just me and God, and pray to your Father in secret. And you wrestle with him. Ask for his blessing. Lord, of everything else, I want your blessing. Amen? We've got one more prayer to talk about. It's the prayer of confession. We'll do that in 2 weeks. Next week, Brother Luke is coming. And then we'll talk about confession. We'll go to Easter, and then we'll start in the book of Colossians. Let us be a people who wrestle with God, and we're genuine and we're real, and we come before him to worship. We are full of joy. We testify, we tell people, God showed me his loving kindness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you. You make it clear, Lord, you want us to wrestle with you. You want us to struggle and strive to come before you with reverence, with respect, with fear, Lord. We want to be real before you. Thank you. You make it clear you want to meet us in the dark, that hidden place of our hearts where we are scared, hidden place of our hearts where we feel ashamed, hidden place of our hearts, Lord, where we don't want anyone else to see our struggle with greed and pride and lust, with selfish ambitions. Lord, you meet us there. You say, I want to wrestle with you, and I want to bless you. Lord, may we be a people who come before you with authenticity. We don't wear a mask. We're transparent, and we ask you for great blessings, Lord, and we say, more than anything else, I want the promise God has made. Promise of heaven, the promise of salvation, the fullness of your spirit. And Lord, may we proclaim this. May we proclaim this to the world. This is who God is. He's a great, loving, gentle, faithful God. He will wrestle with you all night long. He wants to bless you. May we be remembered as a people who God has blessed, God has shown loving kindness. Lord, be glorified in your church. Bless us. Make us a blessing. Pray in Jesus' name.